We discussed last Thursday, I think it was a Thursday night, but we only discussed it for a few minutes, so we'll discuss it now a little more elaborately. The following shaila that came up, and I have to imagine comes up fairly often in a number of different ways. A fellow came over to me and told me that he has a child who is no longer Shomer Torah u'mitzvos, and he supports his child in terms of, not that he supports the idea that he's not Shomer Torah u'mitzvos, but like he feeds him, and he helps him out in whatever way he can, and the child needs a car in order to be able to get back and forth to school, or he could take public transportation, but it would take a lot longer, and it would be much more tedious for him. So he wanted to know if he's permitted to make car payments for his child, because he knows that when he makes those car payments, the kid is not only going to use the car during the week to get back and forth from school, he's also going to very, very, very likely drive on Shabbos. So is that a violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol to make his car payments for him knowing that he's going to drive on Shabbos? So whenever you have a shaila of Lifnei Iver, you always have to have two things in mind. You always have to take the first two thoughts that have to come to your head are the following. Two major potential heterim. One is that there's a difference between Lifnei Iver Daoraisa and Misayei Midrabanan. Lifnei Iver Midaraisa is when the person would not have the ability to do the Avera but for your help. Misayei Midrabanan is where the person would have the ability to do the Avera without you. You're just making it easier for them. You're just helping them out. But they could have done it anyway. They could have done the Avera without you. So what's the difference whether something is a violation of Lifnei Iver Midaraisa or Misayei Midrabanan? Either way, we don't violate Dinim Drabanan either, right? Most of us here, I'm not going to ask by a show of hands, but I would assume most of us here don't eat chicken and milk either, right? Not just meat and milk. We don't violate Dinim Drabanan either, so what difference does it make? So it makes a very big difference, because there is a comment of the Shach, and it's explained by the Dalam Ravava in Yaradeya, that says that if you're dealing with someone who's doing Averos B'mezid anyway, you're dealing with a person who simply does not observe Torah u'mitzvos, so then there would be no violation of Misayei Midrabanan. You would only have a concern when you're dealing with the situation of Lifnei Iver Midaoraisa. So, and this comes up in so many different circumstances, in professional settings, where you're helping someone out by getting food that's not kosher or something, and the person is not religious anyway, and they'd be able to have access to that food anyway. So there are numerous circumstances where that heter comes up. Unfortunately, for our circumstance, for this shaila, it does not help, because this is a person who's not able to make his own car payments, and he needs his father to support him, and if the father doesn't make the car payments, he'll take public transportation. Oh, so you're telling me public transportation, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos either. True, you're not allowed to take public transportation on Shabbos either, but it's not nearly the issue of driving a car on Shabbos. Driving a car on Shabbos, nisr daraisa, every time you hit the gas, and nisr maybe daraisa, at least midrabanan, every time you hit the brake. I mean, that's a many, many, many surim when you drive a car on Shabbos. You get on a train on Shabbos, again, not the yeshivish thing to do to get on a train on Shabbos, but it's not nearly that severe a violation of Lifnei Iver. So that issue would not help us. That first kula would not help. Second thing you always have to think about when you think about the issue of Lifnei Iver is, sometimes it's not proper to think only little picture, only about this particular action in this particular moment. Sometimes you have to think bigger picture. If I'm not mistaken, Rav Avadia Yosef has a tshuva where he talks about keeping a meat restaurant open during the 9 days, where given the nature of the community, the people who, if the kosher meat restaurant were closed, the people would not just stay home and have cereal and milk for dinner throughout the 9 days, they would much more likely go to a non-kosher meat restaurant, or much less reliably kosher, meat restaurant. So given that situation, you might say, oh, it's Lifnei Iver for me to keep the meat restaurant open during the 9 days, because these people are going to be violating the minhag of not eating basar during the 9 days, and I'm helping them violate that minhag. But sometimes you got to take bigger picture into account. Isn't it a greater Lifnei Iver to close the restaurant, because now you're going to be causing them or giving them an excuse or the thought of going to a non-kosher restaurant? They're going to be violating much worse averos than the minhag of not eating meat during the 9 days. 9 days. Or Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted as having said that if you have, let's say, non-religious workers who are working for you in the summertime, and they're doing manual labor, and they're schwitzing, and it's very, very hot, so they desperately need a drink. So there is a halacha, black on white in Shulchan Aruch, that you're not allowed to give food or drink to somebody who will not recite a bracha on that food or drink. So because it's lifnei iver, so it'd be lifnei iver to provide them with food or drink. But says Shlomo Zalman, let's think bigger picture. What if you have these people working for you and you don't provide them with food or drink? What is the result going to be? So it's much likely going to be a much greater lifnei iver than not reciting this bracha. It's going to be a lifnei iver of sinas Yisrael, sinas hadas. They're going to hate people who are religious Jews. Obviously, we're talking about Jewish workers. If the workers were not Jewish, then there's no issue at all because they have no requirement to recite a bracha. So sometimes you have to take bigger picture into account. Well, will that help us in this situation, taking the bigger picture into account? Maybe, but it's a very, very slippery slope to apply it over here. I mean, you're going to say, I want to keep a warm relationship with my child, so if I don't make his car payments, then he's going to hate me, and then he's not going to have any religious people to connect with. Very hard to say. You have to know the details of the relationship and the nature of the situation to really say something like that. So that would be very difficult to say. So what I thought was that you had a very simple reason to be making over here. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about a wedding hall. Let's say a person owns a wedding hall and people rent out the wedding hall to get married. So you have a couple that's going to get married, but they're not so religious, and there's very likely to be mixed dancing at the wedding. There's very likely to be mixed dancing at the wedding. So can you rent out the wedding hall to that couple, or do you say, no, it's a violation of lifnei iver? So first Rav Moshe goes through what we started with. You know, there are other wedding halls. They could probably find another wedding hall if you don't rent it to them. So it's only misayaya. They're doing it b'mezin. But then he says, forget all that. Even if it were lifnei iver d'oraisa, and he says that b'feirush, even if it were a lifnei iver d'oraisa situation, meaning there were no other wedding halls, yours is the only one. He says, this isn't lifnei iver. You're renting them a wedding hall, not a mixed dancing hall. What they happen to do in Avera, in the wedding hall that you rent them, that's not your action, meaning what you're renting them is a wedding hall. The mashal, or Moshe doesn't give this mashal, but I've heard that sometimes, if you go to a wedding, if you listen really closely around the table, sometimes people will speak Lashon Hara around the table. So you should never be able to rent out a wedding hall where there's a chashash that people might speak Lashon Hara around the table. Why? You're renting out a Lashon Hara hall. How could you rent out a Lashon Hara? Says Rav Moshe, that's ridiculous. It's not a Lashon Hara hall. It's a wedding hall. The fact that somebody is going to speak Lashon Hara, that's unfortunate. We don't support that. We're not happy about it. But that's not fundamentally what you are doing. So I thought maybe the same is true over here. The guy is not getting his son a Chil Shabbos mobile, he's getting him an automobile, a car that he's going to be able to use to go where he needs to go. It happens to be that the child is likely also going to be Mechal Shabbos, but that's not what he's doing. That's not fundamentally what he is getting him. When I asked this Shaila to Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, he pointed me to Tshuvas. First of all, he said he had a better Shaila. He said he had a situation where it was the opposite, that the child was observant and the parents were not observant. What was the shaila? Case was, the child was going to yeshiva. They were living in a non-religious yeshuv in Eretz Yisrael. Child had to go to yeshiva. And in order to get to yeshiva, he had to take like 3 buses, and it took like hours each day back and forth. And it was a big tircha. And his parents appreciated that it was a terrible tircha for the child. So they said, you know what? We're going to buy you a car. And that way, you'll be able to go to yeshiva. The kid said, look, I have shmiras heinayim issues on the buses. It takes me hours, the amount of bittul Torah. You know, it's a real tircha. But the parents said, and it will work out great, because we'll get you a car, so you'll be able to get to yeshiva. You don't use it on Saturdays anyway. Your brother would love a car to go to the beach on Saturdays with, so your brother will be able to have the car on Saturday so you can go to the beach. You'll have the car the rest of the week so you can go to yeshiva. Fantastic. What do you say? So the kid wanted to know, do I have to say no thank you? Because it's going to be lifnei iver on the brother. Now the brother is going to have the ability to drive to the beach on Saturday. The way Rav Zilberstein wrote in the tshuva, as only Rav Zilberstein would, he said, this way the acha gadol will go to yeshiva, and the acha tzair is also yachle hanos, he's also able to be nana, v'lin sawa le gehenim. And he can travel to Gehenim. So that's how Rav Zilberstein wrote up the tshuva. But he pointed to a tshuva's Nachlas Eliyahu. The Nachlas Eliyahu discusses whether you're allowed to rent an apartment to someone who's not Shomer Shabbos, because he's going to be turning on and off the lights on Shabbos, he's going to be doing all sorts of malacha on Shabbos. And the Nachlas Eliyahu says in Ha'aruz Chidush Edinim Os Mem Tes that since you're renting him the apartment on Erev Shabbos, before the Zman Isser begins, it's mutter. Just like you're allowed to sell a field during a non-Shemitah year to somebody who will likely violate Isurim of Shemitah, I am selling him an Isur Shemitah. No, I'm selling him a field in the fifth year, the sixth year. It's not Shemitah year. It's just in the future that he's going to violate the Shemitah. So that's what he understands, that it's about the timing of the rental, the timing of what you're giving. So as long as you give the kid the car on when it's not yet Shabbos, that would memela be mutter. And he says, l'chora, he points out, the Mishnah in the fifth parak of Masechta Shviyos writes that Beis Hillel is matir to sell a parah choreshes b'shviyos, a cow that plows during Shemitah, because who says the guy's going to use it for plowing? Maybe the guy just wants to shecht the cow. And the Tiferes Yisrael writes over there that you don't even look at the price to figure out what he wants to do. You can always assume lekula, assume that he wants to shecht it. But v'kulam b'feirush aser. If he says beferish what he wants to do with it, then it's going to be aser. Meaning, if he says, I want this cow to plow with it during Shemitah, that's not okay. You cannot do it under such an explicit condition. In fact, Rav Zilberstein said he had a shaila where a guy owned a gas station, and someone came to fill up gas on Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos, and he says, I'm filling up so that my family can go on a big family trip tomorrow morning, first thing in the morning, we're heading out. So that's beferish. He's telling you beferish why he wants that gas. So Rav Zilberstein thought that in that case you should tell him. You know what would be even better than a family trip is to have family time every single week, once a week, by putting away all the phones and by doing nothing and experiencing a real Shabbos together. Okay, you could try it. I don't know if it will work, but it would turn out that when the father is buying the car for the child, or he's making the payments for the child, it's not beferish for the sake of Chilul Shabbos. So in addition to Rav Moshe's kula, you also have this idea that the Nachlas Eliyahu, that it's done before Shabbos. Plus you have the idea that if it's not beferish, you're allowed to get a paruch rashas if it's not beferish going to be used for an iser. Nevertheless, even when you take all that into account, a person has to know his own relationship with his child, and sometimes you have the ability to say to the kid, listen, it would hurt mommy and I very, very much if you drove this car on Shabbos. You know, we're happy to make the payments for you, we're trying to help you out, but you know what our sensitivities are, and you know that it would hurt us very much that if you did it. And maybe that would resonate with the child. Maybe it won't. Maybe he'll just get angry and start cursing. You have to know the kid. You have to know your relationship to know whether that's a worthwhile conversation to have. But me'ikar adin, strictly speaking, it would seem to me that it would be mutter, especially based on Rav Moshe's tshuva about the wedding hall in terms of the definition of lifnei iver.